Coming up on Only a Game, the decriminalization of pinball. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
On Thursday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said of his decision to suspend Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice for just two games, "I didn't get it right." Goodell announced a new domestic violence policy which applies to anybody connected with the league, 6-game suspension for first offense, 1 year for second offense, and no guarantee that an appeal after that year would get you back in. Did he get it right this time?
He's getting closer to getting it right than he certainly did with the Ray Rice situation, where he embarrassed himself, his league, and anybody who's ever been associated with it. Let's put it this way. I'm not overloaded with confidence in the commissioner's sincerity here. I think he's covering his butt.
In his ongoing attempt to defend the name of the NFL team he owns, Washington owner Daniel Snyder acquired 2 allies this week. Is this one of those instances where you say, with friends like this, who needs enemies?
Yeah. Sarah Palin and Mike Ditka both came out in favor of keeping the nickname. I would call this a meeting of the minds, but they're too short.
Before this week, I had been feeling bad for Kenny Hill. He, of course, is the quarterback who replaced Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. Filling the shoes of Johnny Football, I thought, that can't be easy. So how's he doing?
The opening game, they go into South Carolina, where South Carolina had won 18 games in a row. And Texas A&M just crushes them, 52-28. Kenny Hill throws for 511 yards, breaking a record held by Johnny Manziel.
Who was that guy who used to hold the record at A&M?
And to his credit, Manziel had a lot of fun with it. Manziel and the Cleveland Browns were playing their last preseason game, and he kept yelling, "Kenny Football," although Kenny Hill says he doesn't want to be called Kenny Football.
Charlie, college football briefly had a hero to celebrate this week in USC senior cornerback Josh Shaw, and then it turned out college football didn't have a hero because he wasn't. Explain, please.
Well, first of all, suddenly fibbing to your coach becomes a national story.
Oh,
when
yeah.
did this happen?
When you go to USC.
Yeah, Josh Shaw is a cornerback at USC. He has a double high ankle sprain, which he attributed to jumping from the second story of an apartment complex to save his nephew, who was in the pool and didn't know how to swim. That part turns out to be a lie. He did indeed sprain both ankles jumping off something somewhere, but nobody's really sure what it is. And now there's a whole bunch of moral outrage on the USC coaching staff because Shaw has made them look ridiculous, and among the sporting press because it's the end of August and there isn't anything to do.
NASCAR driver Tony Stewart returns to competition this weekend for the first time since the sprint car he was driving struck and killed driver Kevin Ward Jr. On Friday, Stewart told the media that he took time off from the sport out of respect for Ward's family and in order to cope with the emotional impact of the accident. Is 3 weeks too soon to be getting back into the car?
I don't know. This whole thing has been hinky from the start. Tony Stewart said, "This is one of the toughest tragedies I've ever had to deal with, both professionally and personally." Hey, dude, you're alive. The other guy's dead. Forgive me if I'm not sympathetic. But now the sport seems to be bringing him in and embracing him and trying to get him through the horrible trauma he suffered because he killed a dude on the racetrack.
Outgoing Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig said this week that he hopes to see women playing Major League Baseball in his lifetime. How long do you suppose the 80-year-old Mr. Selig will have to live to see that happen?
I have a feeling that Bud is not going to see this in his lifetime, but I do think it's going to happen.
Meanwhile, the San Diego Padres are honoring the retiring commissioner by naming a section of their ballpark.
How's that going, Bill?
The Selig Hall of Fame.
How's that working out?
Well, fans happy with that?
Absolutely not. You know, they essentially blame Selig for letting a former owner named Jeff Morad take the team apart. And actually, in one tweet, they said that the Padres Hall of Fame Plaza should be named after Tony Gwynn, Trevor Hoffman, and Jerry Coleman. And that's something I would get behind.
That makes a lot of sense. Jesus Montero showed up at spring training for the Seattle Mariners 40 pounds overweight, and he is currently rehabbing in the minor leagues, where I hope that he's impressing the team scouts.
No, he's not, because the scouts are heckling him, and Jesus has had enough. Some scout, who I suspect is not employed anymore, started heckling Montero on his way back to the dugout, and in the course of heckling him, threw him an ice cream sandwich. Montero, outraged, threw the ice cream sandwich back at him. I'm confused as to what the Mariners' problem is. Is this what they want him to do? If someone hands him an ice cream sandwich, they're going to want him to throw it away?
The ouster of Donald Sterling as owner of the Los Angeles Clippers is a good thing for lots of people, and it's a really good thing for Clippers head coach and president of basketball operations Doc Rivers, Though maybe now that Doc's getting paid $10 million a year, we need to find a better adjective than good.
Yeah, he has come through this with a song, I'll tell you. $10 million and an owner who is, apparently adores him and a really good young team. Doc is in the high cotton right now.
And finally, Charlie, over the years, we have discussed various ways in which various fans have expressed support for the teams they love, so perhaps you would like to tell our listeners how Seattle fan Bill Vandenbosch has elected to demonstrate his support for his favorite team, the Seahawks.
Well, first of all, you remember in Gangs of New York, Daniel Day-Lewis's character, Bill the Butcher, had a glass eye
yes, indeed.
With an American flag in it. Bill Vandenbosch has now a glass eye with the Seahawks logo. And which his wife gave him for their anniversary. I like the Vandenbosches. They may be the fans of the year. And said Mr. Vandenbosch, I was pretty overwhelmed with joy.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. And, of course, he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.